Amen. Let's stand together tonight, just a few minutes, if you would. And I do have something on my heart tonight that I want to share. Amen. And I'll do that, then I'll get out of the way and just let God be what God wants to be. And I learned a long time ago, it's better to be sensitive to Him. If you haven't minded Him tonight, I want to encourage you to do so. And always make sure that you mind the Lord in whatever you do. And so I'm going to do that tonight. And no need to look at your watch. I'm not going to keep you to midnight. I'm not going to preach an hour. I'm not even going to preach 40 minutes. I'm not going to preach 30 minutes. Usually about 20, 25 minutes, I'm going to be done. But I want you to stay with me tonight. And I got something on my heart that I want to share with you tonight. And I trust to be a help, be a blessing to you. I thought sitting there a moment, I said, well, might be a good possibility. I won't preach and that'd be all right. To be honest with you, I've been in a lot of services where I'd rather not preach for several reasons. Sometimes the service is good and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's loose and sometimes it's tight. And I don't like to preach basically in either one of them. I like to preach when God's got the ground plowed and ready for me to preach. But I also know when to shut up and sit down. All right, so I promise you tonight, I'm not here to keep you in church all night. But listen, if you say by the grace of God and love Jesus, you don't mind being in church. I worry about folk can sit down 2 hours and watch a ball game, never complain about it. You let church go by an hour and they have a heart attack, man. Amen. You know I'm right tonight. Here folks sit down and watch some crazy TV program for 2 hours. But you let them go to church over an hour, and Lord, have mercy. I can't believe that preacher held us that long. Well, to be honest with you, the most I've held you so far is 2 minutes. That's right. You've been here an hour and 15 minutes, and I've held you two. So I at least get my hour and 15, right? Y'all not amening in the Holy Ghost, because a lot of you don't mean it. Amen. Genesis 45 tonight. Verse number 21, Genesis 45, verse 21. This is what's on my heart. I want to give it to you and I'll be done tonight. But I do believe that there's somebody tonight in this building that needs what I'm getting ready to give you. And so I want to give it to you and let God be God and what He wants to do. You folks in Victory, thank you for coming. And then, of course, Brian, all you folks. I know Brian's from down at Gateway. Others are from different places, but thank you for coming. And I believe the dear lady sung second. I'm mistaken, Brother Jack, it's your church, right? Sung at your church. So I appreciate you folks coming and being with us tonight. I like what one of that song said a while ago. It says, you know, He's not just the song, but He's the reason I sing. Praise God. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's a song in your heart. Amen. The children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not by the way. They went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan, into Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He was overwhelmed by the fact that Joseph was alive. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Father, I pray tonight, may the sweet Holy Ghost add His blessing to the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, tonight, may we see Jesus. We'll thank You for what You do. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You be seated tonight. If you know very much about this chapter of the Bible and much about Joseph in your Bible, then you know tonight that Joseph is a type in the Bible of Christ. Matter of fact, there's a lot of types in the Bible. Genesis 22 is one of the greatest types in the Bible of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that when the ram was going up one side of the mountain and Abraham was going up at the other side of the mountain, that right on time both arrived in the will of God. Then, of course, we know throughout the Old Testament, there's one type and another type. We go all the way back to Egypt and how that the blood was applied on the doorpost and on the lintel. And you heard God say something like this, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I'm glad, thank God, my dear friend, one day when it's all said and done and God pulls a curtain on this thing, I won't stand in front of God because of the good I've done. I won't stand in front of God because of being a great person. But when He sees me, He'll see the blood of His own dear Son. And friend, I'll be welcomed in the glory because of the blood of Christ. Joseph in your Bible is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is a type of the Lord. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. Joseph's life was put out into being nothing. And yet when Joseph's life was lemons, Joseph just always seemed to turn out to lemonade. Amen? Always. Now, in the Bible today, you find this happening. You find that Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt to get some food. There was a famine in the land. And when they came to Egypt, Joseph was providentially placed in a place of God that God had him in control of the land and all of the substance. And Joseph's brothers come and don't even realize who they're talking to. And you know how I know Joseph was a type of Christ? Because Joseph could have had them killed. Joseph could have had their head cut off. Joseph could have sent them back with nothing. But instead of what they did to Joseph and how they treated him, he looked past everything they'd ever done. He looked past everything they'd ever said. And he loved them in spite of everything they'd ever done. Now you find that Joseph's brothers are being sent back to a man by the name of Israel, whose name, of course, was changed. And you know in the Word of God is Jacob. And here comes them boys back. And they come back to their daddy. And their daddy for all these years. I feel a little touch of the Holy Ghost in me. Their daddy for all these years had an idea that Joseph was dead. Thought he'd never see him again and thought it was over. And them boys come back with the wagons loaded. And by the way, if you ever get around your heavenly Jesus and your heavenly Joseph, I promise you it'll load your wagon too. It'll load it all the way back. When they come back to Joseph, or back to Jacob, back to Israel, they say, "Daddy, there's some things you need to know." And I just throw this in for a moment. They said this. First of all, Joseph lives. Amen. They said, "Daddy, you can cheer up. Daddy, we want you to know we've been to another country and we found out that Joseph lives." Friend, Joseph in your Bible is a type of Christ. And I want you to know tonight that not only does Joseph live, but hallelujah, I'm glad tonight that Jesus lives. I said He lives. Hallelujah, He lives tonight. They said, "Daddy, you don't know the half of it." They said, not only, "Daddy, does he live?" But they said, "Daddy, he loves." Amen. They said, Daddy, you don't know what we did to him. And if anybody ought to have punishment, and anybody ought to have somebody that put him down, and if anybody ought to have been put to death, it would have been us. But instead of hating us, instead of putting us on that cross, instead of everything else, Joseph loves. Something I've never understood. And I never will. I know everything there is to know about me. I know everything that I've ever done. I know everything there is to know about Chris Hazel, and I don't understand why somebody like Jesus would ever walk up Calvary's hill and die for somebody like me. I don't understand it, but I'm glad he loves tonight. They said, Daddy, that's not all. I said, yeah, he loves. Said, Daddy, he lives, but said, Daddy, he's loaded. Said, Daddy, he's got more than you could ever imagine. Said, Daddy, you think he's a little wagon full right here or something? Said, Daddy, you ain't seen nothing. You ought to see over there where Joseph sat. He's in control of everything. He has everything. Hallelujah, Joseph is loaded. Honey, guess what? You think it's a little good right here tonight? Or it's been a little good in your life? Honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, it gets better. Father on, it gets better. They'd say, Daddy, that's not all. Said, yeah, he lives. No question that he loves. No question that he's loaded. But said, Daddy, he's a longing. Said, Daddy, he wants to see you. And said, Daddy, he sent us to fetch you and to bring you back. That same type of analogy is found when Rebecca is being sought by that servant as a picture of the Holy Ghost. And Rebecca's on that camel of grace going across the desert. And when the storms are raging and Rebecca had a bow her head, that little camel had a film over its eyes. And even though Rebecca couldn't make it through the storm, that camel of grace could make it through the storm. And sometimes I can say it like this, through many dangers, toils, and trials, I have already come. And grace have brought me this far. And grace will take me home. Said, Daddy, he wants to see you. The Bible said when Rebecca saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Dr. Tom Hayes, a good study of the Bible, said what lighted me it was that she got off in a twinkling or in a moment or almost like it was just a second, and she said there's no humanly way possible to get off a camel as fast as Rebecca got off that camel. But Rebecca saw Isaac. Isaac was a picture of Christ. Rebecca was a picture of the church. And honey, one day we're going to get off that camel of grace. And hallelujah, we're going to see our heavenly Isaac, and we're going to be with him for all eternity. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, and it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, and it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, and it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't you listen to me just a moment tonight. I'm not going to be long. I told you, and I mean that. But don't you listen to me. The very last verse of chapter 45, Israel says these words, I will go and see him before I die. Now listen to me tonight. Death is real. And death is certain. The Bible says, is it appointed unto me and once to die, and after that the judgment. Everybody in this building will face two judgments, one of two judgments one day. You will either face the judgment of the great white throne, where sinners will come before a holy God and be cast into hell. Or you'll go before the bema seat of Christ. And I personally believe the Bible says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I believe there'll be a lot of tears at the bema seat of Christ over all the things we could have done that we did not do, and how we could have served God and we did not serve Him like we ought to. But now I want you to listen to me tonight. I want to give you three little simple things. I won't be long preaching them. I'm just going to give them to you tonight. I feel in my heart God just wanted me to give you these three things tonight. I want to preach tonight on three things I want to do before I die. Now I want you to listen. Three things tonight that I'd want to do before I die. I've already done a few. There are three. And I want you to listen to me. Now, I've enjoyed the shouting. I preached the first part of this message so you can enjoy what God's doing in this service. But undoubtedly, there's some of you sitting here right now and you really don't even understand what people are shouting about. There are some of you in this building and you think, you know, that preacher's crazy and I don't know what's wrong with these folk and I just don't get what they're so excited about. Understand tonight that when God breaks the fallow ground, He pours in the seed. He lets the water of the Holy Ghost nourish it. And God brings forth harvest. Before I die, Israel said, I want to go see Joseph. Then my life will be complete. Let me say this tonight, first of all, very simple, three little things. Before I die, I'd want to be saved. How about all you children of God, give me a little better amen than that. Before I die, I'd want to be saved. The Bible says, for what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, I have heard thee in a time, except in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Proverbs says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The rich man in Luke 12 said, thou fool, this night God said to him, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Friend, what God is saying is, if there's anything in life that's important, the number one thing in your life above everything else is you need to be saved by the grace of God and know that you're ready to meet the Lord. And friend, I'm not talking about a new leaf. I'm not talking about a changed life. I'm talking about being born again. Why? In the blood of Calvary, have your name recorded in the Lamb's book of life, and peace like you never knew. Honey, we all need that tonight. If the Lord tarries, everybody I'm preaching to is going to die. You listen to me. I don't mean sound morbid, but it's going to happen. You can spend all the money you want to, but when death knocks at your door, when the death angel comes by your door, friend, it will not matter who you have around. I'm telling you, death is real, but hallelujah, guess what? For every child of God, honey, it's not a sad day. It's a coronation day. It's to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm glad to say tonight without reservation, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved by the grace of God. Now listen to me tonight. A lot of people got the idea of saved folk think they're better than folks not saved. That's not so. Let me tell you a secret, buddy. If anybody deserved to go to hell, it was me. If anybody deserved to die without God, it was me. I'm telling you, I'm not better than one person. I'm not better than one individual. If I got what I deserved tonight, I'd be in hell. But I'm so glad in a little meal town in Altima Hall, North Carolina, on the back row of a Baptist church, I'm glad the sweet Holy Ghost came weaving his way down where I was at, tapped on my heart, put me on old time conviction, and friend, I said yes to Jesus Christ. Three things I'd want to do tonight. Before I die, I want to get saved. Saved. S-A-V-E-D, saved. I'd want to get saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. One fellow said one time, said, well, all y'all want to get saved for so you don't have to go to hell. I said, you're exactly right. Amen. Praise God, I make no bones about it. I heard an old Negro preacher, what he called himself years ago, up in the mountains, and he'd preach it. And he said, this morning, I want to preach on why I'm glad I'm going to heaven. He said, point number one, because I ain't going to hell. Amen. Can I tell you what tonight? Honey, it might get hot in the summertime down here in South Carolina. It might get even hot around the stove. But I'm glad, buddy, when my heart stops and the body goes in the grave, I am not going to hell. Thank God there is a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's where I'm headed. Do y'all enjoy shouting? Secondly, before I die, not only would I want to make sure I'm saved, but I'd want to make things right with others. I wouldn't want to take to the grave with me hatred and bitterness. I wouldn't want to take in my heart before a holy God. You say, preacher, but you don't have no idea what somebody's done to me. Let me take you back to a hill called Calvary. 12 disciples started out. Only one made it up. One of them cussed him to the very face and said, I don't know him. When all else forsook him, he could have stopped any part of the way and he'd have still been God. But I'm glad he looked past what I'd done and he looked at what I could be, and God forgave me, and freed him. God forgives us. Hey.